Hello, welcome to this AHDB podcast. When the producer suggested we talk about the details of this episode, I heard the words tractor and the man in the driving seat. I immediately had visions of a factory visit, dusting off my old crash helmet and Top Gear style test driving the latest state-of-the-art piece of shiny kit. My imagination had the better of me. I was wrong. It turns out, according to the producer, I need to listen more carefully when she speaks. She had, in fact, lined up for interview the man in the driving seat at Red Tractor. That's Chief Executive Jim Mosley. I'm not disappointed. Honest. I'm John Bates, and I'm very pleased to welcome Jim Mosley to this podcast. Hi, Jim. Thanks for sparing the time.
Hello, John. Thank you very much indeed. You shouldn't be disappointed, by the way. This will probably be one of the most exciting podcasts you'd have ever run.
Okay, well, let's see how we go. So, Jim, you've been in the driving seat, just to continue that analogy for a moment longer, at Red Tractor for 3 years. How are things going?
Well, I would say astonishingly well, John. I'd answer that question, first of all, by actually being quite surprised that it's already over 3 years. It has gone that quickly. So extremely busy, extremely good challenges and opportunities for Red Tractor. And I think in the last 3 years, we've completed an enormous amount of work.
Now, we have seen other assurance schemes emerge, which sort of sit alongside Red Tractor, or perhaps you see that differently. So in the league table, where does Red Tractor sit?
I have to say, John, that when you say how do we perform in terms of the league, I don't ever see those other schemes in the UK as competitors or in any kind of ranking. I personally think those other assurance schemes offer enormous choice to consumers. And I would say out of my experience internationally that actually in the UK we perhaps have more choice around the types of foods that we can buy and the way that they've produced than perhaps many other markets around the globe. So I don't see them as competitors at all, and therefore I don't kind of rank ourselves in a league as such. But that said, we often talk about the UK having world-leading standards. And we know that Red Tractor is by far the biggest farm assurance scheme in the UK. So I think it was important for us to try to do some work that kind of determined where do we sit in the global picture? How good is Red Tractor assurance? And indeed, are there opportunities for us to do better or indeed look at different ways or means of achieving the farm assurance credentials that we have? So there were two pieces of work that have been commissioned in the last 18 months. One was actually commissioned by the National Farmers Union, and the others by us with Burney Consulting. And the purpose of that study was to go out and benchmark every one of the Red Tractor standards in every one of the sectors in which we operate against the world's biggest and best global assurance schemes. Now, I'm pleased at first to be able to say we benchmarked incredibly well. We are, without question, a world leader in farm assurance, and probably there is no other scheme around the globe that could match us in terms of what we deliver in terms of food safety and particularly in traceability. But actually, the job wasn't really to establish that ranking. It was more to look at where are there still opportunities that we could do better? You know, how do other schemes operate and any learnings from that? And certainly the research did give us some opportunities to look at for when we develop our future standards. We are an absolute world leader in farm assurance. And I'd also say, John, that comes with a little hint of frustration from my point of view, because whilst being a world leader in farm assurance should be a fantastic asset for British agriculture, actually, Red Tractor gets a fair bit of criticism and negative publicity. And I think that's frustrating because I believe that the whole industry is missing an opportunity here by kind of inwardly fighting and not looking at what are those things that could really benefit our total industry.
Okay, so let's just talk about that then, because as you say, Red Tractor does occasionally get some flack in the media. So how do you and your colleagues feel about that?
Well, it is frustrating at times, but John, I also would say that you asked me about the first 3 years in Red Tractor, and it's quite a different role from roles that I've performed in the food and drink industry, even though unfortunately I've been in that industry for over 40 years. But one of the challenges of Red Tractor is that it plays something of a balancing role. So if we go back to when Red Tractor was very first established 20 years ago, its core purpose was to reassure consumers that the food and drink that they're buying was safe and responsibly produced. And that absolutely remains our core purpose today. That's why we were developed. That's why we exist today. So remember, out of all of the stakeholders that we interact with, the consumer is probably the most important. And that's our job, is to reassure those consumers. I think then that when you think about that, there are things that consumers would want from a farm assurance scheme or from farming in general that may be very distant from what farmers and growers can do or indeed want to do. And Red Tractor sometimes plays that balancing role between what the market really wants and what is practical and viable and gives farmers a return. And there in the middle is Red Tractor, who are trying to always balance those different needs in the marketplace. And inevitably, that is a difficult job. You know, you could argue that if we get our balance absolutely perfect, then we haven't quite fully satisfied the market, and we've probably got standards that farmers feel are a step too far. But that's the role that we play. I think at the end of the day, what I would say is that today in 2020, when I look at our scores with consumers, i.e. do consumers trust Red Tractor? Are they aware of Red Tractor? They have never been higher in the last 20 years. So one thing that I would argue is that against our absolute core purpose, Red Tractor is doing a really good job today. But I don't think that that's necessarily always recognised by all those individual stakeholders that the scheme interacts with.
So that trust and recognition, is that the sort of the peg that you would want farmers to hang their hat on, and that's the reason they should be proud to fly the Red Tractor flag?
I absolutely think they should be proud to fly the Red Tractor flag. And yes, I think that, you know, given that that's where we started and that was our purpose and remains our purpose, then when I look at the scores, and we do some research, we use YouGov as a research company, John, to look at, you know, are consumers aware of Red Tractor? Do they trust it? Our prompted awareness. By prompted, I mean, if you as a researchee were shown some symbols of Farm Assurance Scheme and asked, would you recognize them? Our prompted awareness is up at 75%. It's almost double that of any other scheme in the UK. So consumers are very aware of Red Tractor, but more importantly, almost 70% of them say it positively influences their shopping. So they trust it when they go shopping. And 73% say it is a scheme that they absolutely trust. And that figure is higher than any other scheme in the UK. So as I say, against that original purpose of trying to reassure consumers, I think Red Tractor is doing an outstanding job. And that reflects incredibly well on the farmer, on the Red Tractor farmers, because it means that they're achieving the standards that consumers absolutely require.
There's a possible recession coming at us because of the economic stress that's been caused by the pandemic. And there's lots of uncertainty, of course, around Britain's departure from the European community. How do you see the future for food producers in this country?
John, I think you're absolutely right. I think inevitably, because of the pandemic, there will be people who will have been impacted from an economic point of view and will be wanting to really draw their belts in as they look at all their purchases, including food. And I think we've already seen some hint of that. I looked at some research just this morning that shows that people are stretching meals, perhaps sharing protein between people more than they've ever done, and certainly not wasting food, or indeed, if there is any waste, trying to reuse it. So I think we can already see those behaviours happening. As we go forward, Red Tractor has always been the core principle behind Red Tractor is to ensure that all consumers have access to food that is safe and traceable and responsibly produced. And for our core standards, that will remain absolutely the key. As we go into the market post-Brexit, and who knows whether we'll even leave the union with a deal or not, that there is an enormous amount of uncertainty. And there is obviously a lot of concern about whether imported standards are going to meet the levels and the standards that we have here in the UK. So I think there are probably two or three roles that Red Tractor can play in this area. The first is that it obviously can help government and the negotiators with the detail behind the way a product is produced in the UK. And I think that's absolutely key. I mean, the chlorinated chicken is a perfect example. I'm sure it's an overused example, but still a perfect example of the fact that lots of people will say chlorinated chicken is perfectly safe and therefore it's fine to be imported, but they don't necessarily realize that the way that it's been produced is very different between markets. And we would argue that the health and the welfare of the chicken is much higher in this country than perhaps in other markets that are using chlorination as a kind of a safety technique at the end of the process. I see Red Tractor's role as helping negotiators understand those sorts of differences, helping with to ensure the equivalency on standards and so on. And we're doing that through the Trade and Agriculture Commission, and we're trying to do that with DIT whenever we can. But I think the second role that Red Tractor can play is that it is a trusted voice on behalf of British agriculture. So if in a few years' time we are faced with many more imports and many differences in the food that coming into the UK, we can always talk to the consumer to effectively say, if you've got any concerns, simply trust the Red Tractor, because we do it properly with high integrity and high transparency.
Flip that a second, because you're talking about traceability and recognition, trusting the tractor. AHDB obviously has a big role in trying to develop markets overseas, and so moving British food produce from this country into other countries around the world. Is there a real place for that Red Tractor symbol about the quality and traceability? Is that an area where you think Red Tractor could expand more into?
Absolutely, John. I think there's a great opportunity. I'd have to say that I think at the moment, the way we're feeling in the UK, we're probably more concerned with protecting our home share and defending, particularly against imports that might come into this country. But I think at some point, we need to recognise that there are indeed some really good export opportunities. And many congratulations to AHDB for opening up some of those recent deals that we've seen, beef into China, and more recently, some of the beef operations getting their exports into the US. I would like to think that those deals, at least at a business-to-business level, have been underpinned by the Red Tractor standards. But about 2 years ago, we did some work with AHDB to look at whether or not in certain markets, Farm Assurance and the Red Tractor logo could potentially be developed as a consumer brand in those markets. I see real benefit in that, because there are some markets where, a bit different to the UK, they're not necessarily just focused on price or quality, but they may well be focused on safety and traceability and the authenticity of the food. And those are exactly the things that Red Tractor underpins. So I think there is a great opportunity in some of those markets for Red Tractor to be developed as the export brand. Now, the other thing is, John, and I'm sure lots of the processors and packers will probably correct me on this, but I also see the opportunity for perhaps just retaining a little more of that supply chain and therefore potentially some margin. So instead of us perhaps selling prime product or primal cuts into certain markets, the question for me is whether we can go on a further stage to the add to the further processed product and be almost selling a finished product to the consumers in those markets under the Red Tractor brand. So I do think it's a great opportunity. We've probably a little bit of momentum in that area because we are more concerned with protecting our home market. And I fully understand that, because we don't want to have what I describe a leaky bucket situation where you develop your export business, but you lose a share of your home market. For us, it's got to be a both and. We've got to protect our share in the UK, and as well, we've got to develop those export opportunities.
for the listeners to this, for the red tractor farmers, that quite possibly you don't get as many opportunities as you would like to have to talk to directly. So this podcast is opening up the opportunity really for you to speak to red tractor farmers directly. I'm just wondering about the future and the marketing campaigns that Red Tractor are looking at. And I wonder whether you can just tell us a little bit about, you know, how the future looks for Red Tractor and perhaps, you know, the thoughts that you would like to leave in the listeners' minds.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, John. So I'll start by saying the absolute beating heart of Red Tractor is still its standards. Those technical standards are the thing that gives British agriculture its point of difference. And those elements will still remain the absolute core of what we do on a day-to-day basis. But, and you asked me about the last 3 years, John, I can remember in 2017 when I first started, my first few months were totally spent with farmers. I can even, I won't mention his name, but I can remember spending a weekday afternoon in a front room of a farmer, and he'd invited all his friends to talk to me and give me as much feedback about Red Tractor as possible. And that's lodged in my brain, and I have it there today. And one of the things that they said, one, was that we don't talk to consumers enough and tell them about the benefits of Red Tractor. I've tried to correct that in the last 2 or 3 years. I think you'll have probably seen much more advertising and marketing of the logo, but all of that work is designed to try to increase first the awareness, but secondly the understanding of what Red Tractor does, because we know from our research that the more the consumer understands what it is that we do, we set the standards, we ensure compliance with those standards, and that delivers benefits to the consumer. The more they understand that, the more they value and trust Red Tractor. So we've certainly had a campaign on TV and social media and print and all the other mediums as well for the last 2 years. We are working on the next phase of that campaign that will break probably early in 2021. And it will focus very heavily on exactly those benefits to the consumers, all around traceability, safety, and farmed with care, which is the strapline that we use on our advertising. And the advert will certainly focus on those elements in order to increase both that awareness, but also importantly, that understanding and trust that consumers will have in Red Tractor.
Jim, thank you very much for sparing the time to join us on the podcast, and hopefully we'll have the chance to speak to you again. Thank you to my guest, Jim Mosley, and podcast producer, Aisha Shabnam. AHDB want to hear from you. If you've got any questions or feedback about this podcast, please get in touch via the feedback form on the AHDB website. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.